All right, turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. We have that recorded there? Okay, good. All right, 2 Thessalonians. Everything's plugged in and ready to go? All right, good. Don't want to lose our power source or anything there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to talk again about the Antichrist. And now we're going to do some comparisons. Okay, we're going to talk about the campaign of the counterfeit Christ, all right? And we're going to show you, I'm going to show you tonight through the scriptures of how the Antichrist, how he counterfeits Christ by types and by just showing specifics in how he counterfeits Christ. And, you know, God gave us all of these so we could identify the Antichrist. I believe that. I believe we will be able to by what's in the scriptures. That's why the Bible says that even the elect would be fooled if it were possible. Now, why isn't it possible? Because they have the Holy Ghost and they have the Word of God. That's why it's not possible. They have two witnesses. They have the Holy Ghost and they have the Word of God. That's why they will not be fooled by the Antichrist. They're going to be able to name him and be like, that guy right there, that's who that is right there. Because he's going to fulfill all of these prophecies. Just like Christ fulfilled the prophecies of who he was, right? He is going to do that. And that's the reason why I'm calling him the counterfeit Christ, because there's an aspect of the Antichrist that people don't really talk about much. And that aspect is the counterfeiting, all right? If you, you know, when we think of counterfeiting, we think of a dollar, right? We think of, for instance, do you know why the Secret Service was set up in the first place in America? Do you know the reason why it was set up in the first place? Yeah, that's right. It was set up for counterfeiting. It was not set up to protect the president. The Secret Service was initially set up in the United States of America to investigate counterfeit money. It was later, after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, after William Hinckley, I think, or another one was assassinated, another president was assassinated. Excuse me, another president, and then they said, "What's that?" Yes, that's right. Thank you, William McKinley. And then after he was assassinated, okay, then they said, okay, now we need the Secret Service to guard the president. So that's when that changed. That's why the Secret Service is paid for out of the United States Treasury. That's why they are a department of the United States Treasury, among other reasons. Okay? But that's the reason why. Because they were initially set up to guard, to look for the counterfeit money. Now the best way to be able to, yep, the best way to be able, yeah, yeah, and now we have a whole fiat system based on counterfeit money. So, and anyway, but the best way to understand a counterfeit is to know the original, right? Amen. Why will we not be fooled by the counterfeit? Because we know the original. Right. Do you understand?
Amen.
If you know the original, then you cannot be fooled by the counterfeit. Because he's the original, and you know that, okay? So that's why we are trained through the scriptures, through the Holy Ghost, to know Christ, right? And to understand who he is. So then when we see the signs and wonders, the signs and lying wonders that take place, we will be ready for them. We will say, if we are here on this earth, we will say, you know what? We're not fooled by that. We're not fooled by that. And you know what? Let's read this, because we'll see. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, look at this, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. So you and I are not to be troubled or shaken in mind by the Antichrist coming. Why? Nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as if the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. What is that? The apostasy. Are we seeing it? Yeah, I think we're seeing it. I think we're seeing it. I'm not saying the fullness of time has come, okay, of the apostasy has come, or the fullness of evil has come, but we're seeing the apostasy. It's rolling, it's moving, right? We're seeing it. All right, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? The day of Christ. Shall not come except there come a falling away first. That comes first. What comes next? And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. That's the counterfeit Christ, right? who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Now, we're not going to stick on this because I've already preached through this. I'm just reading this to you to get you going here, and then we're going to be all over the Bible. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, above every concept of God, above any theology. Right? Right. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. All capital. Not a mistake. Capital G. Not a mistake. Not a mistranslation. Not a problem. Accurate. Right? Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. He has a time, and he's going to be revealed. Who else was revealed in his time? Christ. Christ was revealed. And Judas. Right, that's true. But Christ was revealed. Because Judas is a picture of the Antichrist. A big picture. Along with many others. All right, so remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So he's working, that spirit's already working, right? And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. It's coming. Christ had a coming. The Antichrist has a coming. Right? Christ is going to have a second coming. Right? With all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They're going to be deceived because they would not receive Christ. Plain and simple. Then they're going to accept Antichrist. He will be that Superman that gives them everything they want. Right? He's the man that, don't you understand, folks? That counterfeit Christ is the man that they picture as who God is. It's the man that the CCM movement makes and creates. It's the Jesus that they sing their songs about. It's the one that provides the charismatics with their signs and lying wonders. Don't you get it? It's the final prophet, right, of Islam, the 12th imam, right? That's who it is. It's everybody that they've ever looked for, that this world has looked for to unite. That's who it is. Other than Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, please help us now. Lord, help us understand this counterfeit Christ. And how he is an imitation, a cheap imitation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, but he is the counterfeit. In order for us really to understand who this man of sin really is, we have to examine in depth how he is the counterfeit Christ. How he's the best counterfeit. He's going to fool the masses. He's going to fool the religious. Right? He has two weapons that he will use. It's the same weapons that false prophets use today by the power of Satan. You know what those two weapons are? Confusion and delusion. He will come and he will bring confusion and delusion. Right, witchcraft. That's where but he will come with that power to do that. He will confuse and he will delude. That's what he will do. And it will work on those that... Because God is not the author of confusion, right? So counterfeit, what does it mean? It means a cheat, a deceitful person, one who pretends to be what he is not, one who personates another, an imposter, that which is made in imitation of something, but without lawful authority, and with a view to defraud, bypassing the false for the true. right? To forge, to copy, or imitate without authority or right, with a view to deceive or defraud, by passing the copy or thing forged for that which is original or genuine, right? To imitate, to copy, to make or put on a resemblance. See, you and I don't understand the depths of Satan. I was thinking about this the other day. We don't even understand how wicked the depths of our own depraved hearts can be. We can't even possibly imagine the depths of depravity and evil of Satan. That's why we're not to think on those things very much. When evil things happen, we're not to try to figure out how evil that really is and how to explain that. That's why we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, but we're not to dwell on them. We don't need to dwell on them. We don't need to understand it. I don't want to understand it. I just want to rebuke it. Right? I'm not to think on that evil too long. Right? It'll consume you. You know, we do marvel, though, don't we? We're not supposed to. How Satan's ministers can transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness. But why should we then... When we are warned in the Bible, we are warned that their work, we are warned of it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13. Paul warns us, he says, for such are false apostles. Well, Paul, how did you know? He saw them. Deceitful workers. Paul, how did you know that? Because he saw them. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. How'd they do that? And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. There, look at this. You and I think it's a great thing, though. We sometimes could get mesmerized by it and not understand the power of Satan there and his power of deceit. Because Paul tells us, look at every word that it says there. It says, therefore, it is no great thing. You ever been deceived? Man, I have. Have I ever? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed. You say, I don't understand how that counterfeit can look so original. I can only understand it by what the Bible warns me of. And the only way I can explain it to you is that that a counterfeit must be good in order for it to pass off as an original. Do you understand? That counterfeit must be so deceitful, so close to the truth, Brother Finney, so absolutely close to the truth that you do not even realize that you are being deceived until it's too late. Until it's over, and then you stand around like one of the, yeah, exactly like that. You stand around like you got bonked on the head, like one of those Looney Tunes cartoons where you get hit in the head, and the stars come around your head, right? The lump grows, the stars go around your head, and you're like, what just happened to me, right? What just happened to me? Because I don't know. How in the world did I just get deceived like that? How did that happen? Well, I will tell you that there are so... That's why the Bible talks about the wheat and the tares. Yeah. I'm not going to really get into that, but I'm going to preach on that sometime. It's coming. That's in the hopper sometime. But listen, that's why the Bible says you can't tell the difference between those wheat and tares until they may perhaps reveal themselves to be who they are. Holy Ghost might flush him out. He might not. But it says here, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. I've met those before. I've had them closer to me than I'd like to admit. And I believe this book more than I ever have. And I believe that that coming of the Antichrist is going to be so powerfully deceiving, with so much confusion and delusion. And I understand what that means when it says who's coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. I believe it. I believe it because I've seen some of it. People that sit so close to me that look so much like the real thing, that walk and talk like the real thing, but then all of a sudden are revealed for who they really are. And that's an enemy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, an absolute enemy right in your midst. Who shall remain nameless, whose end shall be according to their works. Remember that. What did he say about Hymenaeus and to as well, whose end shall be according to their works? What did he say about Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil? The Lord reward him according to his works. Be thou ware also. Right? Be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Amen. So we understand that that counterfeit can be very close to the original, and it takes the discernment of the Holy Ghost and God's Spirit to reveal it. But I will tell you that God's Spirit will reveal to his elect, to his children. He will reveal it. So, number one, let's look at this. The counterfeit Christ is a mental genius. He will be a mental genius. He will be possessed of an extraordinary intelligence. He will be the devil's imitation of that blessed one in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you understand that? He is going to have the power of Satan to have all wisdom and knowledge, not like Christ, but an imitation of who Christ is, because Christ is God. This son of perdition will surpass Solomon in wisdom. He'll be wiser than Solomon. But look in Daniel. Turn to Daniel chapter 8, verse number 23. Daniel chapter 8. It says here, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. What does that mean? A king of fierce countenance and understanding of dark sentences shall stand up. Things that others cannot figure out, he will understand immediately. The mind of Satan will give him that accelerated intelligence. There will not be a hard sentence or a hard question that he cannot answer. He will understand all the mysteries and have all knowledge. A master of all the occult religions, the mystery Babylonian dark sayings of old, because his father invented them. And he is the true light of the lodge, Lucifer, the light of the mystery religions. What does it say about him in Ezekiel? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 1. The Bible continues to talk about his mental intelligence, his absolute intelligence, and his absolute wisdom that he has. The word of the Lord came unto me again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God, I am a God. Notice that, G-O-D, capital. I sit in the seat of God. Same thing you recognize in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, right? In the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Stop for a second there and think about that. Thou art wiser than Daniel. Whew. Remember, there was nothing hid from Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Now, I think it's because the Antichrist is going to be using the beast system that's going to be connected through a microchip and a mark, that's going to be connected through a mark, and it's going to have a beast system, and all the thoughts, everything will be recorded. Everything will absolutely be there. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe will happen, okay? Yes, and he will know what that person is thinking. He will absolutely know what that person is thinking like right away by reading their thoughts, because they'll be connected in an interface all over the world. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Nothing will be hidden from him. As Daniel was shown by God all the secrets, he will be shown by Satan and the system that is in place all the secrets and the wisdom. He will counterfeit Christ by a mental intelligence that will exceed that of human nature and human ability. Do you know Facebook just shut off its AI? And you know why it shut it off? Because it developed its own language that Facebook could not determine what it was. And they shut it down. Number two, the counterfeit Christ. He will counterfeit Christ by being a master of speeches. He will be an excellent speaker. He will be the best speaker. He will not need a teleprompter. He will not have to pre-write anything. He will be a master of words completely. A wizard of words. Daniel chapter 7, verse number 20, please. He will counterfeit Christ. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. He stood up and stood out above everybody else, and his speech made it so that everyone took notice of the words that he spoke. Right? Where have we heard that before? Here also will the devil imitate that one who spake as never a man spake. That was said of Jesus. Never a man spake this way. They said that about Jesus. Whence hath this man this wisdom in Matthew 13:54? So will it be with this daring counterfeiter. He will have a mouth speaking very great things. He will have a perfect command and flow of language. His skills will not only gain attention, but command respect. Revelation 13:2 says, declares that his mouth is as the mouth of a lion, which is symbolic expression telling us of the majesty and awe producing effects of his voice. The voice of the lion excels that of any other beast. So the Antichrist will outrival all the orators, ancient and modern. Never a man spake like this man. Yeah, he'll be a preacher. Absolutely. A preacher, a state. Well, we'll get to that. Never a man spake like this man. That'll be said of him as he counterfeits Christ. Next, the counterfeit Christ. He will counterfeit Christ as the perfect politician and businessman. He will be the absolute perfect politician. He will make the New Deal, Obamacare, and the Patriot Act look like child's play. He will emerge from obscurity. A.W. Pink says, but by dint of his diplomatic skill, he will win the admiration and compel the cooperation of the political world. In the early stages of his career, he appears as a little horn or a little power. But it's not long before he climbs the ladder of fame and by means of brilliant statesmanship ascends to its topmost rung. Like the majority of politicians, he will not scruple to employ questionable methods. In fact, it will be by diplomatic tyranny and intrigue that he will win his early successes. He'll do it by flattery. Daniel 11:21 tells us that at first they will not give to him the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. He will be such a speaker, such a businessman, such charisma, right? Once he gains the ascendancy, none will dare challenge his authority. Kings will be his pawns and princes his playthings. The kings of the earth, they'll bow down to him. They'll give allegiance to him. He will weld together opposing forces. He will unify conflicting agencies. Under the compelling power of his skill, the world powers will be united. That United Nations will then truly be realized. The Orient and the Occident shall no longer be divided. A marvelous symbolic picture. This is given in Revelation 13, 1 and 2. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Here we find the forces of the Roman and the Grecian, the Medo-Persian, and the Babylonian empires all together. He will be the personal embodiment of the world's political authority in its final form, that final beast system. He is the beast, and the system is his. He owns it. Do you understand that? I believe there's two things. I believe the beast is interchangeable with him as a person and it as a structure, right? I think it's kind of interesting that the president's motorcade, his limousine, is called the beast. The president's. Any president, yeah. It's called the beast because it weighs a ton, that's why. Tons. It's bulletproof, it's bomb-proof, it's chemical-proof. And it's fast. And there's more than one. Yeah, there's like 10 of them. Sorry, I just watched a short video on it, so just like it's in my mind right now. Yep, and there's one real one, that's right. No, that's true. And there's one real one that travels with him. Anyway, but that gives you the idea, right? Of anyway, he will be the personal embodiment, though. He will be the last great Caesar. He will be the one that unites the world together. Everything will be nationalized under this genius, this business genius. Do you think they'll treat, look how Donald Trump, is Antichrist Donald Trump or Barack Obama? Nope. Because when the Antichrist comes in, nobody will oppose him except Christians, and that won't last very long. But anyway, they will, but most of the people, no, they won't oppose him. Of course not. Donald Trump's not smooth enough. You don't go out and say the things that Donald Trump says and be the Antichrist. You do say things like Barack Obama said and be the Antichrist, but Donald Trump doesn't say enough Antichrist stuff. I mean, he just doesn't. He's not smooth enough like that. He's funnier than Obama. No, for real, he is. And you just don't hate him as much. I mean, he's like, you know, I mean, I don't hate him anyway, but I don't hate Obama either, but I want him to be saved. I'm not Steven Anderson. I don't hate him. I don't want him to go to hell. I want him to be saved. Amen. But I want all of them to be saved. I want Hillary to be saved, that old wicked witch. I'd love for her to get saved. She even wants to preach, man. That'd be great. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Did you see that? No, did you see that? She said she wants to preach. Somebody has a bunch of art. I don't know if it's real or not, but I was just laughing about that. Anyway. No one's going to look at that old hag scream at him for hours. Nobody. That's why she didn't get voted. I told everybody she ain't getting voted in. There ain't no way anybody's going to listen to that old hag scream at them for hours. No way. With that screechy witch voice, they'll drop the house on her, man, in a second. And her ruby red slippers. I'm just telling you, it's happening. They can't take. Nobody can take look at that thing that long. No, look what happened to Jezebel. And then threw her out the top of the building and dropped her on her head. There ain't no way anybody can listen to that for that long. Man, Bill don't stand her. What am I preaching? I'm not preaching about Clinton. Bill, look, Bill runs away. Bill's never home. All right? That should be a good indication to you that Bill can't stand her, okay? Yeah, Bill don't go home. He's a gigolo. He runs around the world. That's all he does. What? He don't do nothing. That's all he is. He is. He is a murdering devil. That is Ahab and Jezebel right there. The only funny sermon title ever, well, not the only funny one, but the one I've seen Phil Kidd have, he said, Ahab and Jezebel back in the White House. That was a funny sermon. That was an old one. Anyway. Oh, he's a devil and a half, man. A devil and a half, man. Anyway. Craft will prosper under his hands, both witchcraft and business. Probably the one leading the other. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. It's going to be a time of prosperity. Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. All commerce will be under his personal control. And this will be used for his own wealth. The wealth of the world will be at his disposal. There are several scriptures which call attention to this. For example, in Psalm 52:7, we read, Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his substance. So he was rich, he's wealthy, he will be very wealthy. He'll be a business genius. He won't be leveraged with like all the banks, he'll own the banks. Do you see the difference? Right. Donald Trump is leveraged by the banks, all right? He'll own the banks. It'll be somebody that will own the banks. They'll own the money. That's the difference. All commerce will be under his personal control. Again, in Daniel 11:38, we are told, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, which is Satan, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Then Daniel chapter 11, verse number 43 says that he'll have power, right? Daniel chapter 11, turn there. See that? Daniel chapter 11, verse number 43. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. The God of forces, right? He'll have it all. He'll own it all. Why does it say the gold and the silver? Well, because that's where all the real money is. Right, that's where all the real money is, and he'll own it all. He'll have it all at his disposal. What's that? Yes, power over it, that's right. He'll control it all. Yep. Yep, absolutely. And that's what's going to happen. He's going to show that he's just a man, that's all he is. And the last verse of Daniel chapter 11 mentions is made of his palace, right? He will be wealthier than anyone. Ezekiel 28, 4 and 5 speaks of him thus, with thy wisdom and with thine understanding thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasuries. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches. Oh, that would be Ezekiel. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm not reading the actual verse, so let me go there. So much about the Antichrist in the Bible, but hardly ever preached upon, hardly ever talked about, hardly ever identified. That's why I've never seen a series this long before. I don't know, it's like, I don't know how many sermons it is, but it's quite a few. I preached a few back a few years ago, and then I was like, you know what? I got to really get into this and dig in, because there's a lot of stuff in the Word of God. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 4 and 5. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver to thy treasures. But by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee and the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords. So judgment will come. Judgment will come to him, right? He'll be able to wield the scepter of financial power, and he'll even outdo Solomon in all his glory. The richest, right? Next, he will counterfeit the Lord of hosts. He will be a military genius. And we're not going to get too far into this because there's so much that we could go into with this, but I'll just kind of brush over this here. Because, I mean, to deal with campaign after campaign that's in the Bible that talks about the end times, I mean, there's a lot there. But he will be endowed with the most extraordinary power so that he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, Daniel 8:24. Before his exploits, the fame of Alexander, Napoleon will be forgotten. I mean, think about that, Alexander. Nothing compared to him. None will be able to stand before him. He will go forth conquering and to conquer, Revelation 6:2. He will sweep everything before him so that the world will exclaim, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? All of the earth, they will say, who is able to make war with the beast? Who is able to stand up to him? Because he will conquer all. He will conquer the entire world. His military exploits will not be confined to a corner, but carried out on a vast scale. He is spoken of as a man who will shake kingdoms and make the earth to tremble. in Isaiah 14:6, because it says, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that shook kingdoms and made the earth to tremble? God's going to bring him down to where there's nothing left, and God's going to look up and say, this is him, this is you, this is the guy that did, the people are going to say, this is the guy that did this, this is the man that did this, right? And God's going to bring him down. But nevertheless, the Bible says that he will shake kingdoms, and he will make the earth to tremble. Suffice it to say, he will conquer the world. Alexander the Great will be replaced by Antichrist the Greater. Next, and this is where he's his most dangerous, absolutely most dangerous. There is no more dangerous place that Satan is than as he will counterfeit Christ as a religious uniter. He is his most dangerous. And I way back when I preached on on a series on Satan many, many years ago, the one thing that I remember dealing with was the fact that Satan in his most dangerous place is his religious side. Yep. He is never any more dangerous than that. Here again, where Satan is most dangerous, marvel not, we are warned that we are not to marvel, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. How much more than his own son will do the same? How much more than his own son will be the king of counterfeits? He will excel better than all the others before him. He will proclaim himself God, demanding that divine honors should be rendered to him, and sitting in the temple shall show himself forth that he is God. Such wonders will he perform. Such marvels will he work. The very elect would be deceived by him if God did not protect them. The man of sin will combine in himself all the very genius of the human race, and what is more, he will be invested with all the wisdom and power of Satan. He will be a master of science, acquainted with all the natural forces, compelling her to give up for him her long-held secrets. Do you understand that? Listen, here's the thing I want you to think about for a minute. What is Satan called? The prince of the power of the air. Now, when that Antichrist comes, that counterfeit Christ comes, he will be invested with all the embodiment of Satan's power. What do witches do? They use the elements. What will the Antichrist have power to do as Satan unlocked all the secrets for him of the earth and everything that he knows? Who was there when the foundations of the earth were laid, when the sons of God shouted for joy? They know the intelligence, the understanding that the angels have, and Satan being the anointed cherub that covereth, right? Having all that knowledge, having all that ability, having all that authority, and then placing it in his son. Do you understand? He will have control of the elements, and the earth will give up its secrets to her, to him. Right, that's how he calls down fire, that's right. Think about it. He will be a master of science. And look how science is worshipped today. Look how it's worshipped today. They're waiting. Oh, they are so ripe. These agnostics or Gnostics and these evolutionists and all these other people, I'm telling you what, he's going to swoop in with such charisma. They're going to be awed. Their mouth is going to be like this. Never a man spake like this. And they are going to follow him as he the Pied Piper. And they will not be able to resist him. They will be given, why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Right? Why? Because Romans chapter 1 tells us that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They wanted to serve the creature more than the creator. Who's the creature? The beast. Man. The embodiment of evil. The Antichrist. The counterfeit Christ. In this masterpiece of Satan, says one, will be concentrated intellectual greatness, sovereign power, and human glory, combined with every species of iniquity, pride, tyranny, willfulness, deceit, and blasphemy, such as Antiochus Epiphanes, Muhammad. Does anybody know how Muhammad conquered Mecca? Does anybody remember? Have you studied that? Has anybody studied that? I could tell you how he did. What's that? Well, sort yeah, that's how he did it essentially. But Muhammad went in peaceably into Mecca. The first year he went in there, he was invited in. He allowed all gods to be in there. And then after he took over and built up an army and took over, then he destroyed all the other gods, marked Allah as the only God, and killed everybody who disagreed. That's a picture of Antichrist. What's that? I don't know who the other one was. Oh, yeah, the Mary figure or whatever, the female deity. Yep, the female deity. Yeah, the female deity. And they still worship Mary, or female deity. Yep, they do. That's right. That's right. And they still got beads, too. But that's another. You can go back and listen to that message I did on that one. But, okay, Andy, Muhammad, the whole line of the popes, the atheists, the deists of every age of the world have failed to unite in any individual person. All the world wandered after the beast. Revelation 13:3, his final triumph shall be that wounded by a sword he shall live again. He shall raise himself from the dead, and so wonderstruck will men be at the stupendous marvel, they will readily pay him divine homage. Yea, so great will be his dazzling power over men, they will worship his very image. Comparisons between Christ and the Antichrist. We're going to go through a bunch of these now. I want to show you the comparisons of how he counterfeits Christ. Satan is a master counterfeiter, and in nothing will this appear more than in the next great move he has. He is now preparing the stage for a climatic production which will issue in a blasphemous imitation of the divine incarnation. I like this quote. This quote is from Pink, and it was many years ago. And now we're seeing how this is going to be possible more and more with the rise of technology, the DNA splicing, all this stuff that's going on. By the way, they just took a child in America, a baby, and used CRISPR to edit its DNA. They just did it. And they said they edited out potential problems. I don't know. Okay, so now we're going to look at some comparisons here, okay? Number one, Christ was the subject of Old Testament prophecy. So is the Antichrist. Many are the predictions which describe the coming one. Daniel 11:21-45, we talked about Daniel chapter 11. Okay, I'm not going to read all those verses, but we talked about that. But that shows his coming. Number two, the Lord Jesus was typified by many Old Testament characters, such as Abel, Joseph, Moses, David, so also the Antichrist. Such characters as, we talked about this in another sermon, Cain, Pharaoh, Absalom, Saul, foreshadow the man of sin. Right? Number three, Christ was revealed only at God's appointed time. Such will be also the case with the Antichrist. Of the one we read, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. In Galatians 4:4, right? Listen to this now. Of the other it is said, and now we know that withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Comparison. Christ was a man, a real man, the man Christ Jesus. So also will the Antichrist be that man of sin. But Christ was more than a man. He was the God-man. So also will the Antichrist be more than a man, the Superman. Christ was according to the flesh a Jew. So also will the Antichrist be. Christ will make a covenant with Israel in Hebrews 8:8. So also will the Antichrist in Daniel 9:27. There's an agreement. There's a covenant that's made. Christ was and will be the king of the Jews in Matthew 2:1. So also will the Antichrist be in Daniel 11:36. Right? He's going to sit there on that temple saying he is God. He's going to sit. He's going to say he's the king. Christ will be the king of kings. In Revelation 17:14, he is the king of kings and lord of lords. So also will the Antichrist be a king of kings. Remember that in Revelation 17? Turn there, Revelation chapter 17. There's so many of these that we won't be able to go through every scripture because we'd be here till probably 11, which is okay but for me, but maybe not for you. Revelation 17:12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. See what they do? They give all their power to the beast. He's a king over the kings. See how that works? And also in the Old Testament, remember that one passage we looked at last time? I forget where that was at, but it said a king of kings was Nebuchadnezzar, was a king of kings. Not the king of kings, but a king of kings, right? So Christ wrought miracles. Of him it is said, approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs in Acts 2:22. So also will the Antichrist, concerning whom it is written, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He's going to do signs and wonders too. Just like Elijah called down fire from heaven and the prophets of Baal couldn't. Well, now the son of Satan is going to call down and have power over that, and he's going to call down that fire from heaven. He's going to do signs and lying wonders. Christ's public ministry was limited to 3.5 years. So will the Antichrist's final ministry be in Revelation 13, 5. We see that time period, that tribulation, the last of the tribulation there. Christ is shown to us riding a white horse in Revelation 19, 11. So also is the Antichrist in Revelation 6, 2. One comes on a white horse. The imposter, the counterfeit. Christ will return to the earth as Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. We know those verses, right? The Prince of Peace. So also will the Antichrist introduce an era of peace in Daniel 11, 21. What does that say in Daniel? Remember, by peace he takes the kingdom, by flatteries he comes in with peace. Right? Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse number 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Yep, go ahead and read it. Yep. Yep. There you go. Right. So people are going to think when they see this time of peace, they're going, well, this is Jesus. This is that Christ. They might not call him Jesus. They might call him Christ. I don't know what he's going to be called exactly. I know what the Bible calls him, a devil. But I don't know what he's going to be called. But, you know, it's interesting that there's this argument over the name of Jesus. Wonder how many of these apostates are going to just lose the name of Jesus and just use Christ, the anointed one, right? Right. That's right. Many false Christs shall arise. That's what Matthew 24 says, right? Anyway, so you see that. Next, Christ is referred to as him which was and is to come. Revelation 4, 8. Take a look at the Antichrist. He's referred to as him that was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. See the comparison? See, this counterfeit is going to be so close to the original that those people that aren't saved, they don't know the book. Why don't they know the book? But all, listen, all the answers to who the Antichrist are right here. And in the saved person, right here. Yep. We know, right? But they're not going to know why. But the book, listen, look at me. But the book will be right in front of them. It'll be right there. We're going to go like this. We're going to go, look, see? Take it. See how he looked at me? He's not going to take it. He's going to be like, why? Because you know what? It'll all be Greek to him. He'll look at that and he'll be like, why? I mean, why do I need that? I mean, I could see him. He's right there. He just did miracles. He just arose from the dead. He had a wound by a sword and did live. What are you talking about? Yeah, but the book says he's the devil. And they're going to be like, I don't care what your book says. I don't care what your stupid, archaic book says. I see him right here, and he healed me. And I took this mark, and I can do whatever I want now. Or I'm going to take this mark because I can do whatever I want. But the Word of God, the Holy Word of God, it's not a stupid, archaic book. It's the Bible. It told us that he's coming. They can't receive it. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. He's going to offer them the greatest internet porn show of their entire life. He's going to offer them the realest perversion that's going to be more realistic than any physical touch, than anything you could ever imagine, than anything in this world that their dark imaginations and hard hearts and wicked, depraved hearts can imagine, and they will run to it. They will not be forced to it. They will not be gun-pointed to it. They will lap it up. And they don't care what your book says. And they're going to tell you that. And you're going to show them. But it's right here. This is who he is. And they're not going to be able to listen to you. They're just going to be like, you're nuts. There's something wrong with you. Like they do now. There's something wrong with you. No, he's right there. Look at him. Hey, I've already seen how strong a portion of that delusion can be with people. When I've watched people, when I've watched people be that deceived, all right, I've seen it. And you can't get through it. No matter what you say, you just got to let them go. Oh, God showed me, nope, just let it go. Let it go. God will deal with it, just let it go. They're deceived, you just let them go. Christ died and rose again, and so will the Antichrist. Mock that. Christ will be the object of universal worship in Philippians 2:10. So also will the Antichrist be in Revelation 13:4. Turn to Philippians 2:10. Let's show you what we mean by that. You know that verse. Amen. Deacons, grab the child. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have any deacons yet. We don't even have any ushers yet. There's not too far to ush, though. It's just really. We need hushers, not ushers. Hush. Hush. Lee's like, I got a husher. Right? You got one of those, don't you? Yeah. I got one of those, too. It's funny. I know it is, isn't it? Hey, listen, the day you out-preach me is the day I'm done, okay? I'm just telling you that right now. I'm quitting. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's universal worship of Christ one day. But guess what? The Antichrist. Revelation chapter 13, what's he going to do? Verse number 4, yep, number 13, yep, the rebellion, yep, the rebellion chapter. Revelation 13, 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? All the world wondered after the beast. All the world will worship the beast, will fall down to his image and worship it. Right? Another comparison from the counterfeit Christ to the real one. The followers of the Lamb will be sealed in their foreheads in Revelation 7:3 and in Revelation 14:1. So also will the followers of the beast have the mark in their right hand or in their forehead. How about this one? Christ has been followed by the Holy Spirit who causes men to worship him, right? So the Antichrist will be followed by the anti-spirit, the false prophet who will cause men to worship the beast. Right? That he will point them to that. Make an image. Make an image unto the beast. We talked about that. The sentient image, right? That lives. That the fire comes down from heaven and gives life to the image of the beast. They say, hey, make an image to the beast. who had a wound by a sword and did live. So the false prophet encourages that idolatrous worship. The Holy Ghost of God encourages us to worship Christ, right? Worship the Father, right? Think about that. Of redemption, and they are sealed with the mark, right? That anti-spirit is going to seal them under the day of their destruction. Yep. They're going to be eternally damned. Just like we're eternally secure, they are eternally damned when they take that mark. When God puts his mark on you, it's permanent as a son. When the Antichrist puts his mark on them, it's permanent for damnation. The leopard can't change its spots. All right, now let's look at a contrast between Christ and the Antichrist. One is called the Christ in Matthew 16:16, the other the Antichrist in 1 John 4:3. One is called the man of sorrows in Isaiah 53:3, the other the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. One is called the son of God in John 1:34, the other the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. One is called the seed of the woman, the other the seed of the serpent. One is called the lamb, the other the beast. One is called the Holy One in Mark 1:24, the other the wicked in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. One is called the truth in John 14:6, the other is the lie in John 8:44. One is called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6, the other the wicked profane prince in Ezekiel 21:25. One is called the glorious branch in Isaiah 4:2, the other the abominable branch in Isaiah 14:19. One is called the mighty angel, Revelation 10:1. The other is called the angel of the bottomless pit. One is called the good shepherd. Now I want you to turn here. The good shepherd giveth his life unto the sheep, right? For the sheep, right? John chapter 10. Man, this could be all. This is an actual sermon, probably a couple of them, but this is an actual sermon comparing this shepherd with the other shepherd we're going to compare him to. But John chapter 10, right? Verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. All right. So he's a good shepherd. Now let's turn to the other shepherd, the idol shepherd in Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah 11, 8, amen. All right. We come to the idol shepherd, right? Idol, idol, I-D-O-L, right? The idol shepherd. All right. Let's see. Zechariah chapter 11, verse number 17. Whoops, I had the wrong page here. Woe to the idol shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. You know, there's a lot of symbolism in there. Yeah, well, the right eye, you know, Israel can only see out of one eye, right? They can't see both. They can only see their blindness in part has been given to Israel until the fullness of time, right? So blindness, the right eye is out. They can't see. They're blind. They only partial. What do they see? They see the law. All they can see is the law on this side. They can't see the right. On the right side, they can't see grace. All they can see is the law on the left side. But also, he's the idle shepherd, and he only has one eye. He has that all-seeing eye, right, that you see and everything. He is the Antichrist. That's who the idle shepherd is. Right, for lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal he that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. See what he's going to do? God says, I raised up that Antichrist. God said he was going to do it. He was going to bring the Antichrist up. He was going to raise him up, and he was going to destroy them. But it's the opposite of who Christ is. When you look at the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. The other devours the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life. I'm going to save that for another sermon, and I'll go through the comparisons between the two, and we'll hit those another time. Yep. Is that the idle shepherd or what? Right, yep, where he raises it. That's right. Yep, he uses him as a tool. Yep. Right. Yep. He destroys him. That's what God does to his enemy. He'll use an enemy, and then he'll destroy him against his people, and then he'll destroy the enemy. Just like he did with Babylon. The same thing with them. Okay, so Christ came down from heaven. The Antichrist comes up out of the bottomless pit. Right? Christ came in another's name. Right? He came in the name of his Father, right? Antichrist will come in his own name. And Jesus said, him you will receive. He'll come in his own name and you'll receive him. John chapter 5, verse number 43. Christ came to do the Father's will in John 6:38. The Antichrist will do his own will in Daniel 11:36. Christ was energized by the Holy Ghost in Luke chapter 4, verse number 14. The Antichrist will be energized by Satan in Revelation chapter 13, verse number 4. Christ submitted himself to God in John 5:30. The Antichrist defies God in 2 Thessalonians 2, 4. Christ humbled himself in Philippians 2, 8, even to the death of the cross, right? The Antichrist exalts himself in Daniel 11, 37. Christ honored the God of his fathers in Luke 4, 16. The Antichrist refuses to in Daniel 11, 37. Christ cleansed the temple in John chapter 2, verse number 14 and 16, right? Remember, he went in and he cleansed the temple. What is the Antichrist? He defiles the temple in Matthew 24, 15. He defiles it. Christ ministered to the needy in Isaiah 53, 7. The Antichrist robs the poor in Psalm 10, 8, and 9. Christ was rejected of men in Isaiah 53, 7. The Antichrist will be accepted by men in Revelation 13, 4. They'll receive him. He'll be that Superman. Christ leadeth the flock in John 10, 3. The Antichrist leaveth the flock in Zechariah 11, 17. Right? Christ was slain for the people in John 11, 51. The Antichrist slays the people in Isaiah 14, 20. Christ glorified God on earth, John 17, 4. Antichrist blasphemes the name of God in heaven. Right? In his tabernacle in heaven, he said he blasphemed the name of God. Christ was received up into heaven in Luke 24, 51. The Antichrist goes down into the lake of fire in Revelation 19, 20. Yep. So you have the comparison of the two, okay? You have the Antichrist, you have how he counterfeits it, and then his anti-activities that he does both. So it gives you a good understanding. There's so much to study there. I recommend one good book, and you won't agree with everything that's in that book, but he does break down a lot of this study and everything. That's where I took some of the notes from, too, as well, is A.W. Pink's book on the Antichrist. Very good. At that time, he was premillennial, and he wrote the book on the Antichrist. It's very good. He gathered a lot of good information through the scriptures on it. I read that book years ago, and then I just re-went through it here recently because It is really good. But and has a lot of notes, and you can study all those references that I gave you. Go through your Bible and study all of those if you'd like, and kind of see the comparisons, underline, take notes, and do whatever. But it is very profitable to understand the coming Antichrist and how he is the counterfeit Christ and how he will counterfeit Christ and what he does. What a great study to get into, just to learn and to get you in your Bible and to go back and forth and to see. And you'll find others. I'm sure there are others that I did not list here that you can find on your own as you study that God will lead you through. Take notes, write them down, share them with people. I was telling Lee that the other day. Write it down, share it with other people. You know, get it to other people. You know, mention it or save it for your notes. Maybe as a man, maybe God will have you preach something sometime. As a lady, maybe you'll sit down with some ladies and you'll talk about the Bible sometime and you could just bring that up. You know, I mean, it can happen. You know, maybe your children, you show your children that or whatever the case may be. But, you know, take notes. Be in your Bible. Be in the book. Amen. People of the book, that's who we're to be, all right? Get in the Word of God. There's so much there. And you know what? We're not deceived because we have the Holy Ghost and we have the Word of God. So, you know, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. So we read the Word of God and we understand and we grow thereby. But what a study. I don't know if I'll have any more on the Antichrist or not. I wanted to put this, I think I might have one more, but I'm not sure yet. We'll see what the Lord does. But it is a good study to get into, to get people into really making those comparisons. It helps you to identify the false teachers that are out there today and their messages that they're pushing out there that are Antichrist messages, clearly by the way they do them, with flatteries and everything else. So, I mean, take a look at that. And, you know, it's important to note, like, even our president, he is being influenced by people like Paula White. She is a charismatic, wicked witch and a whore, I might add. So, I mean, false doctrine, heresy, anointing and laying hands on this man, this president, and everything else, you know, not good. Not good. Then you have a Baptist preacher that came out today and said that, I think his name is Jeffries, he's part of the Southern Baptist Convention, he said today that Donald Trump was anointed to destroy North Korea. That God wants Donald Trump to destroy North Korea. I mean, okay, I'm not trying to be mean, but look, that little fat kid over there, he cannot, I mean, he's just like a little fat Asian dude over there. He's not like, I mean, he's a little nuts, but I mean, let's be honest. Do we really need a full-scale war with that guy? I mean, you know, I understand the rhetoric and everything, and I get it, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, the guy is threatening nuclear warfare, and I understand that. But, I mean, you know, even Russia's like, you know, you really need to chill. China's like, you need to chill out, man. I mean, let's be honest, okay? That's not really a war. I mean, you could seriously, that's it. Because you could seriously go over there with, like, a few teams of, like, Navy SEALs and just, like, drop on that plate. On that place, shoot that fat kid in the head, and then and go in there and commandeer the whole country in like a matter of 3 seconds. They don't even have lights half the time. I mean, come on, man. I mean, anyway, it's just sad. It's sad. We don't need any more troops going to war. We don't need anybody going to war, okay? But it is the times we live in, and wars are going to come, and rumors of wars are going to come. And that's what the Bible says, and these are the times that we're living in. You know, so look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Because it's coming. Don't trust in any politician, because they'll all fail you. Trust in Jesus Christ. He'll never fail you. Because there is coming one politician that is going to swoop and deceive all, and that's going to be the Antichrist. He's coming, and his coming is going to be after the working of Satan, and he's going to deceive the entire world, except those that are the elect that are saved by the grace of God. And we thank God for that. Father, Lord, thank you. We pray you'd bless us now. Help us, Lord, and help us to be guided by the truth and the truth alone. Help us to live for you, serve you, Lord. We pray for our country. We pray for our president. We pray for those that are in authority, Lord, that we may live peaceable lives and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.